Hello. You are listening to the Carol Connection. With your host, Jared Carol.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the Carol Connection. I'm your host, Jared Carroll, back for another great episode. I'm really excited to bring you guys this awesome episode. I do want to thank Alex Medeiros in the last episode. That was a really fun episode to do, so if you hadn't had a chance to check that out, please check that out. Still making positive movements, a lot of downloads, a lot of supporters. I appreciate the shares from everybody, so let's just kind of get into it. I'm here with Andrew Breiter-Wu. How are you doing, Andrew?
I'm doing well. How are you, Jared?
Doing great. Great on this Saturday morning. A little gloomy in Providence, but hey, we're here having a good time.
And if you haven't seen, I know you can't see it from the podcast, but we have the beautiful Providence skyline behind us.
So. Yeah, this is a beautiful building. I appreciate you for allowing us to come in here, and appreciate the people who allowed us to come in here as well. So I appreciate that a lot. So let's just kind of start off with talking about who you are and what you're doing currently.
Yeah, so I guess my official title is I'm the president and investment manager of Breiter Punter Properties. And our company is a solar and real estate investment and development firm. And what does that mean, right? It means that when you look at, you see solar farms a lot. I mean, if you go on the highway, I'm sure you see it somewhere,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I've seen them.
There's solar farms everywhere. And where we come in to play with those types of projects is we'll either come in and from soup to nuts, bring it from a open land that I have a vision on and then turn it into a solar project. Or I will take it from an operating project and then buy that project and own it for 20 plus years. So that's kind of how we fit in the solar space. And we have some commercial and industrial real estate holdings as well, but mostly we're a solar company.
That's awesome, dude. I think that's pretty cool. The fact that you are running your own company and taking that leap of faith that many people are afraid to do.
Yeah.
And I can relate to that just having my own podcast and just putting myself out there in a public platform. Like, yeah. People might look at content and listen to me and be like, this kid doesn't know what he's talking about or something like that. It's just like,
who cares though?
Exactly. That is the point. Who cares what people think?
Like, I care about what people think. Just to be clear, I care about what people think, but it's about how you think of yourself that
facts.
Is where. So I like to hear what people think. I care about that, and I think everyone should care and be empathetic for that. But I think it's important that you don't let people's thoughts of you interfere with how you feel about yourself.
100%. Because at the end of the day, you're with yourself all the time,
mm-hmm.
through life and through whatever we go into next.
And everything else. Yeah.
Like, I always like to, I guess someone might say it's kind of morbid, but at the end of the day, you're the only person in that casket. It's just you.
Yeah.
So you got to take care of yourself first. Mm-hmm. And that's not selfish. And I don't want people to think that is selfish, because some people have that notion where I want to put other people's first.
Mm-hmm.
You got to take care of yourself before you can take care of other people. Because if you can't take care of yourself, people are going to look at you and It just doesn't seem authentic, and it doesn't seem real, and people will notice that.
You have to be real all
the time. Exactly. You got to keep it 100, as I say. So let's just kind of transition to early stages. I know your mom's a very big figure in your life, and she had a huge impact on you. Just touch upon that, and we'll keep going and transition as we go through this episode.
Yeah, so I created the company. Right, I don't want to tell many people about this, but I created the company to help my mom and support her and be able to provide more than when I was working at SolarCity and Tesla and very much in the solar space with selling deals and working on the consulting side and working with homeowners and whatnot in my experience in solar. But I created the company to really make a difference in a woman that I care deeply about and be able to provide and be able to help support. And that's one of the major factors of why I created the company. And she's always been 100% supportive. Like, regardless, supports, like, it is like, oh, I mean, I've never owned a business. This is the first business I've owned. And she's like, you've never owned a business, but I support you. I believe in you. And I think that kind of belief and support, I mean, it makes all the difference, I would say. I mean, it makes you feel like, I have at least someone in my court, because the rest of the world, I'm competing. The industry is a competitive industry. Like, I go in and I compete. I go and battle every single day, but I collaborate too. But ultimately, having someone in your corner, it's important when you're fighting in the ring.
Yeah, definitely. Especially, like, your mom. Like,
yeah.
I know my mom means a lot to me, and she definitely supported me through every battle that she's had in her own life. Mm-hmm. And in transition to supporting me in something like this, I'll never forget when I told her I was doing the podcast, yeah. And like, she didn't really react, she didn't have any care for it.
You're
and
like,
then she's like, I don't know. And then she heard it, she's like, wow, like, it sounds really good.
New Jared, right?
Yeah, like, yeah. It's a new chapter in my life, yeah. Where I'm opening up more and putting myself out there for people to listen. And that message of positivity, the motivation, and talking about mental health, like, mm-hmm. being an advocate for mental health is huge. And
I think we all should be an advocate for health in general.
Yeah, and people want to separate mental health and physical health.
It's the same. You're unless your head is a separate organ to the rest of your body, it's the same.
It is, and it's so frustrating to see people put down other people, especially as we were growing up, because it wasn't a big thing when we were growing up either, so people weren't really as aware as they are now.
It was big, but then it was quiet.
Yeah.
It was a big thing. It's been a big thing for 100-plus years.
Yeah, it always has, but I feel like at the same time, like, now it's like, this is what people talk about.
Yeah,
and like, businesses are fully aware of it, whether they say they are or not. I'm not going to talk about all companies, but I think some companies they show face.
Yeah.
They do the corporate try and just, this is, we're trying to help for our employees.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. And then on the startup culture, so
yep.
Like, I'm very much in a startup type of ecosystem that we live and relate to with a lot of companies. And the founders, mental health isn't really thought of with founders. You have a lot of venture capitalists and a lot of big angel investors that put money into these companies, and you are taking the progression of a company and you're speeding it up. Like, mm-hmm. there's pains, there's both good times and hard times, and there's things you learn throughout owning a company. And when you pour on that fuel, that's when all the issues kind of amplify, and it's quicker. So when you have, say, subliminal issues within, say, a founder, and there's something that maybe from their history, maybe they didn't come from much, and then now they are in the place where they have $100 million in their checking account. If they weren't able to manage money back at the early days, and now they have $100 million, and you look at maybe WeWork, or you look at other companies that are out there, and that spend, like, they create these huge elaborate offices, they talk about everyone needs to have a nap room and everything. I mean, it's just like, it just becomes too much. So I'm going off on a tangent.
No.
But ultimately, I think the startup ecosystem needs to think about mental health. They need to think about, investors need to think about the health and wellness of the people they invest into, because ultimately, if they're not healthy, the company's not healthy, and it's a bad investment.
Yeah, so it just becomes toxic, and
yeah.
That's something where I was put in a situation where I felt like I was in a toxic environment, mm-hmm. and I had to remove myself from that environment in order to keep going forward. And it was a great experience, because it allowed me to see things. I'm like, I don't want this in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to allow myself to be in a situation where I'm not happy.
Yeah.
Because I'm the ultimate controller of my destiny, and I'm a firm believer. I can decide where I want to go with my life.
Yeah.
And I have control, and I'm not going to let someone dictate what I can and can't do.
Mm-hmm.
And by putting myself out there, everyone hears you.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that now. And
good.
I'm confident about that, because what I'm putting out there is something good, something people can grasp and listen to and grow with.
Yeah.
And just going back to what you said, just coming from nothing to something. I mean, we just look at people who win the lottery. A lot of the times they lose it all.
Broke.
Yeah, because money doesn't make the difference. If you can't be happy and budget yourself at an early age and mm-hmm. take care of yourself, the money's not going to fix it.
Live below your means. I think too many people that are in the mindset of, oh, I have to go out, I have to go do something like after high school, going to college, or after college, I would say. Mm-hmm. And then you say, oh, I gotta move out of the house, I gotta be out on my own and get going. But sometimes that progression, not everyone is in that progression. Sometimes you have to go back home, build something that you're doing, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, so I think on a parenting level, you want to, like, some people have the philosophy at age 18, you're out and you gotta go figure it out. But like, if you go out and you then are responsible for hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt, there needs to be some understanding that some people need to be home and build or whatnot.
I agree with that 100%. Yeah. People need to be aware of the situations they're putting themselves in.
Yeah.
And a big issue right now is college education, and it's a hot topic where people are putting themselves in debt for something that they don't truly believe that they're going to use or go and do in the future. Mm-hmm. If that's not something that you want to do, don't do that.
No.
Like, that's, I say this all the time, and I try to talk to people who come on the podcast about college and things of that nature. So if you could just kind of touch upon, like, your experiences with that and, like, how that translated into where you kind of got to. Obviously, we'll ask more questions, but just the college experience that you had.
Yeah. So After high school, in high school, I don't know if you remember, but I was in a lot of classes, AP classes, honors, like, a lot of classes. And I was very much, I still am, an overachiever, where I want to do so much more than one will think I'm capable of. And so I went through all those classes. I go to college. I got accepted to Wentworth Institute of Technology, and it was a great experience, I would say. I went to school for civil engineering. I actually, you know, we write those different things. I come across different writings and stuff I write, and of, oh, this is what I'm going to do when I grow up or whatever. And I wanted a PhD in environmental engineering. And I go in, and civil engineering was the closest. They had some environmental engineering components to it. So went to school, met some great people. I worked in the sustainability department. I found some niches there where I could help their physical plant, which is like their maintenance, and they help do a lot of the building maintenance across the campus. So helped with a consultant to be able to bring more recycling and compost, and help with energy use and improve behavior of how they consume energy on campus. And that's kind of where I was like, I actually like working. And during the same time, I was working full-time in the solar industry. So
where were you working?
So from high school, I was, my junior, senior year of high school, I was working in a nonprofit in the solar industry for outreach, securing homeowners for solar and for energy efficiency upgrades. Then progressed during my senior year in high school, was knocking doors for a company that was selling Sunrun products. And Sunrun's the top residential solar company today. And then from there, went into working for Solar City, which was the biggest company, was number one back then, and worked on their consulting side, worked with outreach and customer acquisition, and then was part of that full Tesla transition. So when you look at my career, you have my solar career, which started in junior year of high school onwards, where I was managing people that were in college and much older than me in high school. And then I look at, alongside that parallel, I had my college career, where I was putting myself through college, through school, solely funded by myself by knocking doors and selling deals for solar. So that's kind of it. I talk about college and my career kind of alongside each other because it happened at the same time.
That's how I feel, like, just from an outsider's view, that's kind of seemed like what happened. Like, you're going towards school, and when, talk to me a little bit about working for Tesla. Did that change, like, the way you viewed working into going towards that, like, solar industry, like that whole industry? It's so fascinating too, the way things are going in that direction, which should be, I think that's definitely a good thing too, but just kind of touch upon that.
I'm a big Tesla bull, they say, or I'm a believer in the product, the company, to an extent. And I had a relatively good experience. I got a lot of professional experience, business experience. I worked on the consulting side, helping people with finding solar products for their home, figuring out the best financing options. So I sold a number of different financing products for how they can have solar on their property and then also incorporate energy storage, which Tesla is a energy storage car company. That's what they're good at. They're good at batteries. They're good at cars. That's their core business, and that's what I feel is ultimately their strong suit. They acquired SolarCity, which he was a part of the company. He was an early investor, served as chairman as well of SolarCity. And Elon, I'm talking about Elon Musk, yeah, just for the reference. And the company needed cash. Like, just the way that you structure these financing products, your income is on the cash flows of these really small projects on rooftops. So if they were selling deals where it was just a cash purchase, then their income is a margin off of the cost of building it. But their margin was really 20 years out, and they weren't able to make consistent income every time. So ultimately what happened was they needed to make money, and they were cash strapped, and they got bought out, acquired, however you want to call it. And right now there's a lawsuit of investors into Tesla suing Elon Musk for making this investment into SolarCity that was really a troubled failing asset. So we'll see how that plays out. I'm definitely staying tuned for that. But my experience at Tesla, I met some people, and SolarCity as well, you can couple it together. I met people that I am connected to in a very strong way for life. Like, I met people that are my friends, they're my connections. So far, like, everyone that I worked with is no longer there. Like, mm-hmm. They cut.
Yeah.
And so I've met these great connections that are either in EV charging, they're in the solar industry still, and upper management that's still in the solar industry, but in other companies. A lot of them went to Solar Finance, were Solar Finance, and we collaborate at times with them. But the connections I've made are real connections, and that's ultimately what I got the most I got out of the company, was making those real connections.
I think that's huge. I mean, just look at the name of my podcast, The Carol Connection. I just believe about those connections and like building that relationship with people. And I think that doing this podcast has allowed me to do that. I mean, look at us right here. I'm learning more about you than I've ever learned. And
It's been a while.
And that's why I like doing this. It allows me to catch up with people more than the average conversation. Like, hey, how you doing? I'm doing good.
If we did a texting conversation, I mean, I'd probably be the guy that's writing paragraphs.
But I'd be honest. I'd probably respond with paragraphs back. Yeah. I'm pretty I don't like to just half-ass conversation.
Yeah, but I think ultimately, let's just talk. Let's grab a coffee and talk. There's nothing you can really substitute that for.
Exactly, and that's what I want to talk to people about, and just get that perspective of your life, because I think it was Rob and Brock on two separate episodes, but the way they said it is basically, you get inspiration from other people's stories. So the way you've been brought up and the way you've attacked life might be working for someone who's never heard your story, be like, wow, I could do something. Maybe I could be interested in the whole solar industry and that whole field. Maybe I can go in that direction and try to help people in that way. Because ultimately, I'm about trying to help people and trying to get this world into a better place.
And if that light bulb pops into someone's head about getting into the industry, reach out. I can help.
It's connections.
So that's an open offer to just reach out to me, and I'm sure Jared will share some of my contact info on this.
Yeah, I will share your Instagram, and I'll tag you on Facebook and all that. So
read the copy of this podcast.
So, I mean, it's like, did you ever meet Elon?
No,
I was just wondering.
I know a lot of people that say they've met him, and I'd say half the people have never met him, but I never met him. I'm okay with that, I think.
I was just interested if I'd ever met him working in that industry or working for Tesla.
He was in California, I'm in Massachusetts. There were some times where upper management would go out, but I was not upper management at Tesla.
Just tell me kind of like that transition period. When did you kind of just hit the switch? Was like, I want to start my own business. Like,
I think it was like when I part of that acquisition of SolarCity and by Tesla was like. There was a lot of uncertainty. Like, there was, and when there's uncertainty in anyone's life, people are uncomfortable. And I was like, I feel like there's a direction that I, if I were in Elon's shoes, I would have taken a different direction. If I were, what do you say? Like, if I, there were many things that I'm like, hey, if I wish I had control of my destiny. Mm-hmm. And being an employee, it allotted, like, don't get me wrong, being an employee of a company, it allots you a lot of freedoms. It gives you personal cash flow, which, like, most people take for granted.
Oh, but, yeah, definitely.
But that personal cash flow allows you to not be a slave to making money, like, on 7 days a week, which I very well am very aware of. Mm-hmm. In the early days of the company, of your, if when you leave a company, like, that's all, everything that you live off of still is due. Everything you have to pay is due, but you still have to go out and make money. So it that kind of factor of not being in control of my future was a factor. And then once you get in control of your future, you have another moment and you're like, now I got really, you got to work.
Yeah, that's the key. it's working.
And when you make that leap, like, don't think you're getting freedom when you leave, because you're not getting freedom when you leave. You are free right now because, I mean, you're an employee. You still have to show up whenever you have to show up. You still have to work whatever hours you need to work to get the job done. But when you're your own, I hate the word your own boss, but when you're working for yourself, you are now working for all your expenses. You're working for your household, your family. If you are building something and you have a family, you're supporting them and everything. So it's just, you are less free when you go out and build a company, I would say. But ultimately, if you build a successful company, sure, you get more freedom. But how many years of your life is it going to take? Is it going to take 5? Is it going to take 10? Is it going to take 1? I mean, most likely, it's going to take a much longer time than you think it is.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Like, people don't understand. Like, they see the things on social media where people have nothing and blow up, and they're an quote-unquote influencer. And it's like,
yeah,
some people are faking it for sure, and some people are authentic and do what they need to do to put themselves in a position to succeed.
Yeah.
And one of my people who I like listen to is Gary Vee.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, if you listen to Gary Vee, what he'll tell you is, I wish I wasn't like this. I wish I wasn't so into my shit the way I'm into it. Because, like, he knows sometimes it can be very unhealthy.
And yeah. It's not a healthy life, no.
No, and you gotta understand, too, the amount of work that goes in, and, like, what you're talking about is, like, that hard work, that dedication. Like, people always say, if you work, like, a 9-to-5, like, what are you doing from, like, 6 to, like, 12 or 6 to 2 or whatever? Like, that time afterwards.
Yeah.
You can't just...
You can go out and go make some more money.
Exactly. You gotta build... My whole thing is, I wanna build something not only for myself, but to leave behind. Like, when I go on to wherever I go on to Lexan Life, I wanna leave a stamp. I want to have a stamp in this world where people can go back and listen to the words that I'm saying, and especially now in social media where there are plenty of opportunities to have a platform. Mm-hmm. Like, it didn't take a lot of – I mean, it did take a lot of effort to research and build what I have now, but, like, it's effort. Like, it's what are you willing to put in? What are you willing to sacrifice? Yep. And I don't consider it even a sacrifice. Like, when I take, like, Saturdays, like, I do a lot of my recordings on Saturdays. Like, today is Saturday. You guys will probably hear this on Monday or Tuesday when I finish an upload. But it's, like, I don't consider it – like, a loss of time. To me, I'm getting experience into someone else's life that's way more valuable than playing video games or, like, just buying Taco Bell or just pointless things. Like, I'm getting more value out of the conversations that I'm having with people. And it's amazing. It makes me happy listening back on these, because when things go on, like, when we get older and who knows what happens in life, I know the tragic events of Kobe Bryant definitely affected me. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of reminds me that tomorrow's not a province. Like, you're not guaranteed to wake up tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Nothing can – he had everything, the beautiful family, millions of dollars, successful athlete, taken away like that. Mm-hmm. There's no guarantee to what tomorrow brings.
There's freak accidents that happen all the time, and you just, like, for me, I have a outlook of, like, my whole life, of, like, this is what I want to achieve my whole life, and of course, there's external factors that change that direction all the time, and, like, I was really rigid early on, where I was like, this is the path I'm going to take, this is blah, 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 and stuff happens. I change direction. I find what makes me happy. External factors get applied, and you can't account for external factors. It just happens.
Yeah, and it's just being willing to experience those discomfort mm-hmm. and those things that make you feel like, oh, I don't like this, that anxiety, that anxious feeling. I like that. Mm-hmm. I like feeling like that because mm-hmm. that makes me grow. And a lot of things that I share on Instagram talk about comfort in your comfort zone. If you want to stay in your comfort zone, totally fine. I understand it. Mm-hmm. Some people aren't meant to be entrepreneurs or put themselves in a public figure or talk on a public platform like we are. But staying in that comfort zone, you're never going to get to where you think that you want to go. Say you want to be successful and make tons of money. There are ways to do it, obviously, but you have to be willing to step out of your zone. Mm-hmm. If you want to stay in that box your entire life, all power to you, but you're not going to get where you want to ultimately get to, especially for someone like, I think, me and you, where we want to influence people, we want to help people, we want to bring better good to this world. Mm-hmm. And it just, I don't know, the whole Kobe Bryant thing definitely shook me. Not to just talk about him too much, but for me, someone who I looked up to growing up, I wasn't a huge basketball fan. I liked the Celtics, but I still like basketball. The way he approaches life and the fact that the way he's grown up after basketball.
Yeah.
Being a father, being there for his daughters, putting them first. Because mm-hmm. his whole entire life, he put himself first.
Right.
And that just talks about the hard work, being willing to sacrifice. He sacrificed a lot in his family, like growing up and watching his daughters grow. He sacrificed that to be the best possible basketball player he could be. And his family understood that, and they accepted him for that.
Right.
And it's just being willing to communicate that with your family, your friends, or whoever it is in your life. Hey, this is what I want to do. Yep. Understand that it's going to take a lot of hard work, and it's going to take a lot of hours. Mm-hmm. And I want you to know I still have love for you. I still care for you. But if I'm not around, it's because I'm trying to chase something that's maybe a little bit bigger than myself, you know?
Right. And I had a similar conversation. It wasn't directly about Kobe, but it was about working, building. Mm-hmm. It was with a founder that he was a founder of like early tech, like 80s or so. He was a founder, and he's founded, sold, and kept doing the cycle. And he's done well for himself. And we were chatting, and he's like, like, I had some early periods of my career, I had kids, and I wasn't around, and it hurt. Like, it hurt, but he's like, I had to, because ultimately I made this decision to build a company and make a company, and then ultimately you are in this place where it's like, to be responsible for this family, I have to go out, I can't be home that much, and I have to go out and close deals, build. I have to make it happen, and ultimately, the problem with the time period in which you are building that company or in your life is like if you have kids, you make those sacrifices, and
you have to.
If you started earlier, it could work, but
exactly.
Like for me, I'm starting earlier and. I'm ultimately making these sacrifices so that I'm able to then at age 30 or 35 have a family. I would say 30. I don't know. Somewhere out
whatever
there.
Happens,
whatever
yeah.
happens. There's external factors, as I mentioned. But, that's where what my philosophy is we start kind of earlier and build a foundation to be able to support a family, and then do it. That's just my philosophy, but everyone has a different strategy.
I definitely agree with that too. It's just, I think we should acknowledge the fact that I think just while I was watching a little bit of the Lakers game last night and watching their ceremony for Kobe, and LeBron mm-hmm. talked about how when he came to Boston to play the other night, he went to Springfield and watched his son play. He's like, I don't care that we lost that game.
Mm-hmm.
My family comes first. And it's a balance that we need to have two at the same time.
Yep.
Where coming from our perspective, we've seen enough people. There's enough people that we can look at and research to see how what happened for them and how it worked out. And you can almost see as some of these kids grow up how it affects them.
Right.
So you have to make this decision for yourself and for your family, what you're willing to sacrifice.
Yeah.
You got to decide what's important to you and what's not important to you. In just layman's terms, that's kind of how it is. And I don't want people to... And I think I agree with the fact that starting young is huge. I think the fact that we can do this at an early age and be confident in what we're doing, but understanding we're going to make mistakes. We're not perfect.
Yep.
We don't have all the answers. But you look at the grand scheme. When I was growing up, you're always like, ah, the adults got everything. They know what they're talking about. And then you become an adult and you realize they don't got the answers either. No one has the blueprints to what life is. Mm-hmm. We're all just trying to figure it out. So I got to the point where I'm trying to figure it out. I want to figure out a way to positively impact the people around me.
Yeah.
And I talk about on other podcasts where I don't care if everyone's talking about the same thing, if people are doing something similar to mine where they talk to people in their lives about mental health. Because collectively, as a group, if we're all talking to people in our lives about positive things and motivating others and mental health, that affects everyone around us. And as a collective whole, as a society, that elevates everybody. It's good for everybody. So I'm not against... I'm definitely a competitive person for sure, mm-hmm. but at the same time, I'm here for the better good of society as a whole. I feel that way.
That's good. I think that's an important philosophy to have. I mean, the world needs people that are willing to be good, nice people and kind of balance out or be a connector of people, be someone that's able to just be happy with making other people happy, because I think we need more of that in this world.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that too. I've gotten to the point where I don't care about the money. I don't care about that stuff. I mean, yeah, it's great. It definitely helps with life. It definitely makes things easier for sure. Having more money doesn't solve all your problems, but it can make you live more comfortably based on the world we live in today.
But you should be hungry for money, though.
Oh, for sure. It's definitely a motivating factor.
Yeah.
But it's not my sole factor.
Mm-hmm.
My mission in life is not to make the most possible money I can. My goal in life, and I said this, I don't care about being famous. That's not my goal. Like, I've talked about possibly making a YouTube channel. At the same time, I don't care about showing my face because I don't want it to be about me.
Right.
I don't care about being famous. I don't want the publicity. I want the focus to be on my guest. I want it to be on your story and the way you talk about things. Like, I do care about myself, obviously, but like, I care more about other people too, because like, I talk on every episode.
Yeah.
People get a feel for kind of who I am through my episodes.
Right.
But they don't get a chance to listen to you all the time. And for me, big thing was Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan's a huge influence in my way, and I love listening to Joe Rogan podcasts because it allows me to hear different perspectives, and it introduces me to new people who I never even knew walked this earth.
Mm-hmm.
And I follow them on Instagram, and now I track them and follow them, and I love that.
Yeah.
Seeing new perspectives and opening up. And we talked a little bit before of just how traveling kind of opens up your mind. So is there any experiences that you had that just traveling kind of change the way you kind of view things?
Yeah, I mean, the United States of America is a very diverse country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just alone, you can get a lot of different perspectives, but like, I like to just... I travel it's usually never for pleasure or anything. It's solely for business and meeting with homeowners or meeting with landowners. And I go into these houses and I get to know people and I get to know. And of course, we're talking about us putting solar on their farm and paying them for it, but I get to understand more about their life, get more about kind of the way things are done in their world. And I find it really fascinating. I'm doing my job of spreading value to people across the globe. I mean, one of our offerings to landowners is we pay them to lease their land to us, and we host a solar farm on whether it be 5 acres or 100+ acres of land. And during that process, I get to know about the land, how it was owned maybe by 3 generations farmers, or of they wanted to build an entire cul-de-sac on the land, or I hear about these stories, and then the guy who's 90 years old is telling me, oh, I had a vision and it just never happened, but now I get to see it come to life. I get to see someone using the land, and that's huge. And that's what I love. I mean, I love getting to know new people, and when I travel, I hear perspectives. I don't push any direction of what my beliefs are or what my thoughts are. I listen. I'm a listener, and I understand where certain beliefs come from. I understand where, based on external factors being applied in a sector of our country, in different sectors of our country, creates different beliefs. It's just how, if we're talking just the U.S., but then when I go out and I go into really, really impoverished areas that I'm trying to build a solar development on, I'm going to use local labor, I'm going to bring in a multi-million dollar development, whether it be just a few million or it's a $100 million project that we're developing throughout the entire country or selling energy to the country. And you get this perspective of like, man, we're worried about our sneakers getting tired. I mean, I'm not a shoe person, but you're worried about the next iPhone or whatever it may be. And ultimately, when you look at, you go to these countries that need the energy, like they need energy. They're living without power. Or they're living off of generators that are emitting fumes. That are, I mean, it's just it's a tough life that a lot of people live. And I go into rural areas. We get trucked in to see a site in a small caravan of vehicles, and we go and we see the land. But you pass these communities, and they're living in huts. People live in huts. They live in, I mean, today you have people living in different conditions. And when you just get to kind of be out there and you say hi to the kids, and you like they look at you like in awe, like, wow, what are these people here for? And I get a ton of pleasure in being on site where I could definitely hire someone to go out and go to these sites, meet with these people. But the way I've structured my company of Rider Planet Properties is I have a team that supports me. They're in their office. They're supporting me with wherever I'm going or whatever project I'm working on so that I can be able to go out and be the one that people talk to, because ultimately they're making a 20 to 30 year decision on their property, or they're investing millions to billions of dollars into us to deploy into projects, and they need to know, who are we talking to? Who are we working with? Mm-hmm. And I have to be there. So, and I get a lot of pleasure in doing so.
That's awesome. I love hearing that too, that perspective that you gain from other people. That was something I gained in just traveling. Even when I went to Spain in April and visited my brother who works in the military. He's in the military, stationed overseas, and just seeing how they live in a different country just opens your eyes to the way things are.
Yeah.
And even just like when I was in Texas and I was in Georgia, just the perspective and the way those people live. Like, I know down south is a very religious place, and mm-hmm. up here the religion is sometimes kind of lost, and just the way the disconnect and like the way they view things. Like when I was down there, like just walking through some of the offices, like people who I don't even know, they're like, hey, how's your day? I'm like, what did you just say to me? Like,
who are you?
Like, I've never, like, up here, people just head down, focus, gotta go to where I gotta go. Like, mm-hmm. maybe it's the cold. I don't really know, but.
No, but, like, I know, like, for me, like, I move, like, I have 18-hour days every day, 7 days a week, and I don't always get, like, when I go up to Boston, our offices are in Boston, I go up and, like, you don't really talk to anyone on the train that often.
People on their phones.
Yeah, and I'm guilty of being one of those, but when you're able to slow down at times, and I think I always make an effort in life that certain periods I slow down a little bit when I need to not always, just probably during, like, Christmas time and maybe a few weeks in the summer, I try to slow down and just talk to people, because ultimately my talking with people is when I'm meeting with customers or meeting with clients and partners. That's mm-hmm. when I really am expressing that communication bone, per se.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I think we all just need to kind of be more social, I think.
You need to be more human.
Yeah.
Like, just talking to people more. I talk about this all the time. Like,
yeah.
We don't talk to each other enough anymore. We take social media and use that as the only avenue of communication. It's a tool for communication. It's not supposed to be the only sole communication tool. Like, that's not what that's for. Right. And people get lost in that. Mm-hmm. They see Kylie Jenner and all these people, like, posting their lavish lifestyles, and they get lost into that, and they portray that on their Instagrams or their Twitters or their Facebooks.
And don't be wrong. I mean, don't get me wrong that Kylie, for instance, she earned everything she has.
To a degree, yes. To a degree, yes. She comes from a family that allowed her to have a platform that she has, but she's built everything that she had. Like, everything. Her business that she has is the people she has around. She had. Yeah. You got to also acknowledge the fact that she did have resources that maybe me or you don't have.
And yeah, like, but she had, yes. She had what she looked at what she has in her menu of tools she can use, and she went and she used a name that has a lot of notoriety. And
yeah. But you got also people would do that too. If you're in that situation, you would do that too. Like,
for anyone that everyone has to look and see what do I have? What's in my portfolio that I can utilize?
Exactly, though.
And I mean, I give her props. I give anyone that they need to looking at what in that portfolio of assets, whether it be what's in your head, what you know, and you're utilizing your knowledge, you're utilizing your gut kind of feeling on making a big decision. I mean, whatever it is, you have to look at and be grateful for what you have, ultimately. And you can't blame someone that has more resources because someone in their family worked really hard to get there.
Yeah.
You just have to respect using what you have.
Yeah, definitely being resourceful is key. Mm-hmm. Little bit of transition.
Sure.
Talking about I've just thought about rejection.
Yeah.
And obviously, working in business, you probably have faced your fair share of people rejecting. How do you deal with the fact of people rejecting you and not wanting to get into business with you, or just dealing with that?
So rejection, also a word I use is no's. You get the no's. Mm-hmm. And I go in expecting a no, and then ultimately, if I can just be clear and be true to myself, whether it's we're going into a meeting and I'm clear about what our objectives are for a deal, and you're going to get no's, of course, but it's a matter of eating up the no's. You just eat it up. I like when I look back into my door knocking days, and I would say 99 no's for every one yes would be my stat that I kind of live off of. So think of a community, 99 houses that you're knocking on, and one being the one, and then you say, all right, I ate up the no's, and I got that one yes. And ultimately, in business, you have to then convert no's to yeses. I mean, it's not, and it's just a matter of ultimately people say no because they don't understand it, they're uncomfortable with it, or they really mean no. But most cases, they're saying no because they're like, I don't know how it's going to impact my life. And when you stop and say, all right, do you have a few minutes to explain how what we're proposing is going to impact you, your business, whatever it may be? When it comes to big financial business dealings, and you get no, like most of the times, their lawyers, their everyone around them, all of their accountants and financial advisors really mean no. And it's a matter of getting a sense of, all right, this is why they're saying no. This is where they want either more money or they want whatever what their needs are. But it's a matter of kind of understanding, being in their shoes of why they're saying no, and then from there figuring out what would make sense for them to say yes.
I think that's the hardest thing for people to do, is put themselves in someone else's shoes and understand the full picture, because it isn't just one side of a story too. There's a whole slew of things that had led up to that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And as a society, we just forget that. We totally wash it out. Even if you just look at, I know it's kind of just one-sided, but just our judicial system.
Yeah.
The fact that we look at the situation, we don't talk about what led up to that situation sometimes. Like, why did that person get to that point where they do that crime or whatever it could be? Like, we don't look at the whole picture. We're just like, you're wrong, you're guilty. We live in a culture where you're guilty, like, no matter what. They just come at you negatively and people don't even care. you're guilty until proven innocent. That's what we've turned into, just with social media, and everyone has an opinion, mm-hmm. and everyone's going to say something.
Yeah.
But people also got to understand, like, the numbers on it. We're going to switch to a little bit of social media talk right here and just networking, because I wanted to get to networking.
I love networking.
Yes, that's, I knew you would love this topic, because you're one of the people that's definitely inspired me with the way you network and the way you consistently are doing whether it's conferences or whatever it may be, you're constantly pushing the envelope and putting yourself out there and communicating people in your field.
Yep.
Not enough people are doing that. Mm-hmm. And they're afraid to do that. Oh, I don't have time for that.
Yeah.
I don't have the time to make that connection. I don't have time to go to Boston or go to wherever.
Yep.
I don't got time for that, which is bullshit. You make the time for that because you know it's important. So talk to me about networking and like how that impacts your business and why you love it so much.
I built my company off of networking. So when it comes to networking, it's a matter of building a network of people that you can work with on how whatever basis. It might not be I need to talk to you now, or I might not need to work with them right now. But you save them, you save the card, save the info, and then it comes a couple of years later, you're doing a business dealing, and you're like, oh, I need an accountant to be able to help with this very specific transaction, or I need a specific lawyer to help me with this. And I'm like, all right, I have that connection. I went to Texas, and I made a connection there. And I mean, it's not just LinkedIn and saying connect, connect, connect. It's actually meeting people, actually talking. After you meet, I have a call. I learn more about them. And we go one step further. And networking was really like I knew from day one of building the company that it's crucial, because when I built my pipeline of customers throughout the solar industry, I networked. No one else in my team was really networking and going to different, like, it's not all solar based conferences and connections. It's like other industries where there's people I can talk to that are open to talking and able to just tell me more about their business, and making that connection is then what you grow off of. That is, you let them know, this is my business, this is what I do, this is what a good referral looks like, this is kind of my business, let me learn about your business, and you help them. And I help them, they help me, and you stay connected, and that's how you build a sense of community on a global scale, mm-hmm. where it's community virtually, because social media is great because I can stay connected. I can be reminded about the people there. I'm like, LinkedIn is where I live most of the time. And I'm like, all right, I see, oh, wow, they're doing well. They just got promoted. Oh, they got a new job. And then I reconnect with them and say, anything I can do with your new role? Where can we collaborate? And it's always a matter of finding that sense of collaboration that where can we connect on? And I've built a lot of customers and projects off of that, and those referrals are golden because they are stronger connections than someone I've just coldly approached, which still are good connections I can build off of that. But I'm basing our relationship of my client off of an existing relationship with a mutual connection. Mm-hmm. So I would say when it comes to networking, I think back to when I first got into the industry, and I was told I had to go door knock and go find some customers. And oh my goodness, I actually was like super nervous, and like I was afraid to engage people, and was you had to have that mental kind of awakening where it's like, this is how I put food on the table. This is how I actually talk to people. This is how nothing will happen unless you make that leap. And that was initially. And then from there, I just became addicted to networking, and it's like I can't get enough of it.
Yeah. You know? It's just that I like that we said it today, that awakening. Like,
yeah. 'Cause
that's kind of how I felt. Like, mm-hmm. I don't even know, like, and people talk to me about it, just like, it's like they always say, like, I feel like I just saw something in you, like, what, and you came back, like, this just, like, this transition of just
fire,
like,
under your belly,
just something, man. Yeah. Like, I just was put into a situation where I really kind of like reflected on my life, like, mm-hmm. what am I doing?
Yeah, but you respected the career you had and the employer because they still allotted you to have an experience. So you have to respect your employer, even though it might not be something that you are totally happy about. because being an employer myself, I'm allotting people to have a life. I'm sacrificing my own life to allow people to have a nice place to live, be able to eat, and be able to live. And I think that's it's something that we have to all be aware of and appreciative of, where it doesn't always happen that way, where it's you kind of take it for granted. But ultimately, like, if there's that comfort that I talked about earlier, where you're comfortable as being a salaried employee, receiving money every 2 weeks or so, and you're comfortable. But then when it comes to that next level, and you just have to appreciate the companies that supported you, because companies are what allows people to live and to have a life. I think that's ultimately where you have to respect your employer and just recognize that it wasn't for you long term, but you have to say, I appreciate what has been given to me.
And understanding too, and recognizing that maybe it isn't long term. A lot of people don't recognize it, and they go 20, 30, 40 years in a job that they don't like, and then they look back at their life and be like, I didn't do anything.
No, it wouldn't be our generation, but I would say yes, there are.
It won't be our generation. I think I've seen a lot too. People want to take the shots at millennials, and it is what it is. Call us what we want, but like, we are learning, at least ourselves are learning from generations before. Like, I had did on my episode 2 with my grandfather, which was honestly one of my favorite episodes, where I think honestly this might be getting up there with my top episodes.
No, the way I don't want to beat your grandfather.
No, it's definitely going to be up there, because the way you've been able to communicate with me and like go back and forth and like be insightful into your life, which is hard to do for a lot of people. A lot of people can't self-analyze themselves, but meanwhile, just talking to my grandfather, one of the things we talked off air was just like, I went a lot through my life, and I went through a lot of things, and I didn't do things that I wanted to do, and now I'm looking back with somewhat of a regret. He's like, don't, and
You're young, though. You don't need to regret. You can have a fresh slate and be fine.
So. And it was just talking about, like, he didn't even know that I was doing the podcast yet. So, like, when he said that, I was like, it felt like things were going down a way, like it was supposed to happen like this. Mm-hmm. And a lot of things lately, I try to be more spiritual. I'm not a very religious person. I'm open on my podcast about saying that. And I'm not against other people with their religion. You believe what you want to believe. I'm not going to hate you for what you believe. Yep. Like, that's just stupid in my opinion.
No, but you have to, I'm going back to that other point, but you have to respect everything that's happened in the past that's led up to where you are today. Because otherwise you can't be like, oh, I can't believe that happened. And you can't dwell on it. You have to say, thank you, I appreciate the really awful times and the really good times, and now let's keep going.
Exactly. And people just will go back to those negative situations and bring up old emotions when shit arises. And why? Like, think bigger than this. Think bigger. Like, we have one life, and that's it.
Yep.
After that, the lights go out, and who knows what happens after this. People want to speculate and believe what they want to believe. Whatever, but don't be one of those people when you get, if you're lucky enough to see the ages of 60, 70, 80, and so on.
90,
Don't get to that point where you didn't live a full life and you're not happy with what you've done on this earth.
Yeah.
And that was something where awoke in me, where I was like, what am I doing? Why am I doing the things that I'm doing, and what can I do to make a better effort into putting out a message? Yep. And podcasts are big for me. I love podcasts. I don't know about yourself, if there's any podcasts that you really listen to, but
yeah, there's it's called The Energy Gang, and
makes sense that you listen to that.
It has some people that I really respect in this space speak about the industry, and it's very informative. But I get experience from people that have had experiences that I haven't by listening and learning from them, so that history doesn't repeat itself.
Huge. And just listening to, I think that right now, audio is a very big thing right now, because a lot of people don't have, I'm not saying video isn't, but audio, like, some people don't have time to watch a video in day-to-day lives, but people are traveling, working offices, like, constantly moving around, so audio is just huge right now, and that's why I was, like, ultimately decided a podcast works for me. And I'm still thinking about eventually getting into YouTube. Maybe want to get more defined space, and I get a little bit bigger, and I could start really settling down into the roots of what I want and long term goals going forward. Because I plan on doing this for a decent amount of time. I plan on going forward with this. I enjoy doing this, and it's something I'm putting my time and effort into. And again, But
you know, bravo! You've been hustling to build it, and you just know that it's going to be many more years of hustling.
Yeah.
But it's the people that are listening to this podcast that ultimately mean the world to the producer, to the person filming it, because ultimately you are what makes the podcast happen. Yeah. And of course you make it, but the viewers, if you don't have viewers and you don't have those supporters, you don't have a podcast. So it's the people here that are listening that I just want to extend another arm of appreciation beyond Jared, that I hope you share it. I mean, sharing's important, right?
Very important.
Sharing's caring, right?
Yeah, it's just that putting it out there for other people to listen to and sharing. And like I always say, like, whether you listen to 1 minute of my podcast, you listen to the whole episode. I appreciate that because you took time out of your day to give me a chance and to listen to what I have to say. Because you don't have to do that. You don't have to care what I have to say, and that's fine. I totally respect your opinion. Like, yeah. I'm not one of those people who preaches, hey, listen to me, look at me, look at me, look at me. That's not who I am. Mm-hmm. That's not how I like to carry myself.
Yeah.
I like to give other people a chance to talk about themselves and mm-hmm. give my opinion too, because that's something I struggle with sometimes in the podcast, is how much I talk. Yeah. Should I talk more? Should I talk less? And it's just
you be you.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I ultimately started to settle into, as this is the 11th episode. So like I'm getting into more of a rhythm with how things go. I try to let up. We've talked for, I don't know, it was almost over an hour beforehand, just communicating on where we want to go with this podcast. And we are kind of getting towards the end too. So is there anything that you want to touch base on before I start kind of asking questions and getting towards the wrap up?
Yeah. So I think one last thing is just, with the company Brighter Planet Properties, I just I'll give you a last kind of closing items on it is, I mean, we're building a 100-year company, like a company that outlives me, and that when I'm gone, I'm already replaced, and it's still running. And doing that is not easy. Most companies have an exit plan. Most companies, they plan, and I was talking to someone last night, a really good friend of mine, an advisor, and some companies have that kind of exit plan where they want to build, sell, and move on and build and sell the company and keep going. My exit plan is, I guess when I die, I exit, but ultimately the company outlives itself. And today it's like building that foundation, continuing to build a foundation of investments and assets. And like ultimately we're deploying billions of dollars of money into projects. And I don't take that lightly. I don't take the investors and the private individuals that work with me to put money into projects. I don't take that lightly. I was also talking to someone about dollar soldiers. So the little dollars are, I send dollars out to work, out to go battle, go propagate and come back with more. And I keep going. And that's kind of how I look at it. And it's my job as the commander of those dollars to protect them, to make sure that they go to the right place, that they don't get taken hostage, or that they are alive. And ultimately, I guess you could call me president, investment manager, and commander in dollars, I don't know, but just to be funny. But yeah, ultimately that's my job, and I love what I do, and I look forward to building more partnerships, networking more, and connecting more with people long term, because ultimately that's what I love. I found what I love. I'm gonna keep doing it. It treats me very well. I'm very happy with how it's progressing, and we're doing well. And you have to keep hustling and keep staying hungry, because ultimately I am very hungry. We want to deploy it's 100 gigawatts, which could be almost $100 billion of projects that we want to have under ownership. And it's a big goal, huge, crazy goal that no one else would think would be possible. And we're going to make it happen, because I am.
I believe it. I definitely believe that you're going to make it happen. There's no reason for me to ever doubt you based on what you've accomplished already so far. And kudos to you for taking that leap of faith. So one more question. Sure. I'd like to ask. I always ask every one of my guests and how I've ended the podcast. What would your advice be to someone? I know you kind of touched upon this a little bit. What would your advice be to someone who wants to pursue their passion?
Do it. I mean, if you – I think it's not – you don't have to jump in and do it right away. timing is everything. You have to plan, like, you have to plan financially. Like, you can't say, like, even though money's not everything for a lot of people, you have to plan financially. You have to say, all right, because you live off of X. All right, I live off of X every year. It's going to take me, I think it's going to take 2 years, but maybe it's going to take 4 years. So how am I going to get that four-year runway? And then I meet a ton of different people. I Uber everywhere. I Uber and Lyft everywhere. And I meet these Uber drivers, and they are entrepreneurs. They are building something. They're doing something. They're providing for their family, whatever it is. But you might have to, in building a company, say, all right, if I'm going to leave my job right now and pursue my passion, maybe I'm going to Uber sometime. I'm going to Uber at night. I'm going to build during the day, and maybe I'll do that. Or if I'm going to stick with my job, maybe I'm going to be with my job for, let's say, 5 years. And over that 5 years, I'm going to make sure that I make the same amount, my business makes the same amount or more, ideally, than what my salary is. And I say, all right, if I'm making $60,000 a year with my job, then I need to have my business make $60,000 so that I can be alone, but I also need to also have it make whatever my operating expenses are. So maybe I have to make $100,000 a year. And if my business is not making $100,000 a year, I'm not going with my job yet. I'm going to keep going, keep building and building. And you just have to be smart about it. It's not just jumping blindly. And I think it was a funny thing when I first made the decision to do it. I was like, I'm going to go skydiving. I'm going to go flying out and jump into entrepreneurship. And I think ultimately a lesson that definitely was learned is you need to build that base of how are you going to live? And not just you personally, operating expenses, part of your growth plan. What other expenses are you going to have to incur? Are you going to have rent? Are you going to have a space? Can you do it without a space? And look at that full picture, full financial picture. And if you're like, hey, I'm passionate, I'm going to do it. Yeah, great. But make sure you have a plan before you do it. Because, of course, I was one of those people that just jumped and did it. I would never look back. I don't have any regrets on doing that because I think today we're in a great place. But I don't think everyone should do that. I think that it created a lot of pain internally that I would never wish on anyone to have that kind of pain internally to do that. So I really recommend follow your passion 100%. Without a doubt. Maybe if your business could be similar to a business that you then work for a few years, that gives you more experience. Just make sure you have to be careful about like non-competes and all that stuff. But but ultimately, your passion might be fulfilled in an employment role and stuff like that. So that's what my recommendation is do it, but smart. Be smart.
I love that. I love that a lot. I love the fact that I think it's great that you pointed out, not everyone is meant to be an entrepreneur. Maybe your passion is being an employee for a company you truly believe in, too. And I think Gary Vee talks about that, too. Mm-hmm. But honestly, it's been one of my favorite interviews to do. It's been awesome. I love the view. I love the office that we're in. This whole setting is just, it's just awesome. And I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy 100%. Schedule to sit down with me and have a conversation.
Absolutely. And it's been a joy catching up. And I hope people watch this and they get something comes about it. Inspiration, whatever it may be. But ultimately, I love talking and I extend. And anytime you want me to come back on, I'm happy to come back on. If people want to reach out and email me, email is the best. So you can share. I give you the authority to share my email and shoot me an email if people want to talk.
Too. Awesome. I'll plug your Instagram, your Twitter, and your Facebook on that.
Yeah.
You can plug it right now. I'll tag it in too.
Yep. It's at Andrew. My Instagram is at Andrew_Breiter, B-R-E-I-T-E-R _W-U. And then spell my name again for Twitter without underscores. And someone else has my same Instagram account, so I don't know what
I can do it either.
Just Google me and you'll find everything. So
I love that. Google them. You heard my man. So I do want to appreciate again you taking the time out of your day, and I'll give my little spiel now. So once again, thank you for everyone that has tuned in to these episodes, whether you listen to the first or you listen to this one, whatever it is. Not, like I always say, not everyone's story is going to be for you, and not every person is for you. But having the understanding and willingness to hear someone else's opinion is huge. So once again, I appreciate you guys. Stay tuned for great more content. I'm going to keep trying to push out more stuff as the months keep progressing and as I gain more experience doing this. And I truly appreciate everyone just tuning in. So stay tuned, guys. Love you guys. Bye.